right. But let's move on here to Senior Bowl. Both spent a lot of time down there. I thought, first of all, before we get into some specific players that really kind of stood out to us, just your overall impressions of the group, maybe a position you thought we saw some strength as well as maybe a place we might be a little light.
I thought it was a really good group. I thought it was a great group. It's probably one of the more deeper Senior Bowl rosters that I've seen. And I felt like the strength of this draft and the strength of the Senior Bowl lies right there in the defensive line. This defensive line class that we have, particularly at defensive tackle, is as deep and as talented as any that we've seen in recent years. And because of that, there are going to be some very good players that come off the board on day two that in other years would probably be first-round picks.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. Maybe a position not as strong, wide receiver. We've seen two great classes the last 2 years. I think this year it's definitely a drop-off in the overall talent level at that position. But to me, the headliner of the group this week or at the Senior Bowl was Carson Wentz, quarterback from North Dakota State. But I can't remember a player having more pressure on him entering into the week of practice down there. I mean, I went ahead and put him up there at number four to the Dallas Cowboys in my mock draft, which kind of caught some people by surprise. But I think he's my seventh overall player in this draft class. But it was kind of, okay, how's he going to make that adjustment? Going from North Dakota State, now he's at the Senior Bowl, big stage, playing against all the top players in the country. How would he adjust? I thought he had a great week of practice. He showed you everything you needed to see from an arm strength standpoint. He moved around, created some plays with his legs. And I thought just overall his ability to kind of master the moment. He was showed a lot of poise. I watched him all week interacting with everybody. It was not too big for him. He did not look like a fish out of water. In fact, I thought he clearly established him by far as the best quarterback down there in Mobile. And I think he's going to have a very good shot of being the first quarterback off the board when it's all said and done.
I agree with you. He's going to have a great shot of being the first quarterback off the board. What I liked on film, I saw verified down at the Senior Bowl. I thought he was a big athletic passer, a guy with a strong arm. I thought he could make every throw that you wanted to see. The ball jumps off his hand with zip and velocity. His ability to throw those deep sideline outs from the middle of the field to me was impressive. I loved how you talk about his poise, his ability to handle the moment. The big thing that I had coming in, I worried about how would he be with a room full of stars at big programs, him coming from an FCS program, would he be able to handle it? Could he be a leader? And by all accounts, watching from the outside looking in, he looked like he handled it in splendid fashion. And I think this is a guy that we will continue to talk about. You already have him up there at number four with the Dallas Cowboys. I believe it's a two-horse race for the number one spot. It's between he and Jared Goff. But based on his size, his stature, the things that we were able to see at the Senior Bowl, he has a lot of momentum heading in the right direction. He may overtake Goff, in my mind, as the number one quarterback prospect.
Well, let's just say not even with Wentz here, just the Dallas Cowboys real quick before we move on to the next player from the Senior Bowl. I've kind of made the case that they have to take a quarterback where they're picking at four. I know Tony Romo, you can say he's got a couple years left, but you look at the gap between Troy Aikman and Tony Romo in those lean years for the Dallas Cowboys, yes, playing with Chad Hutchinson and Quincy Carter and company. You've got a chance to find that next guy. Even if Tony Romo can give you two more good years, you have to take this opportunity to get his successor because you don't want to go through the desert like you did in that gap between Aikman and Romo.
No, I think that is a great point. I think this is the time where you do it. You're the fourth overall pick. If you're the Dallas Cowboys, you like to think that this isn't a position where you're going to be at often. Let's take advantage of the pick by getting a young quarterback that we can put behind Tony Romo for a year, two, maybe 3 years to have an opportunity for him to learn away from the spotlight without the pressure of having to be the guy right away. I think that's the best scenario. And in that scenario, whether it's Wentz, whether it's Goff, I think both guys thrive. But really, when I look at Jared Goff and I think about that offense with Tony Romo, Jared Goff would be a really, really nice fit. I think Wentz would be a fit too, but Jared Goff would be a really nice fit in that offense under Jason Garrett and Scott Linehan.
I agree with you completely. All right, Mike, let's move on. We talked about Wentz. How about a defensive tackle that kind of impressed you this week? I know there was a lot to choose from. One from Louisville had a darn good week.
Sheldon Rankins was outstanding. Violent hands, great first step quickness, the ability to turn speed into power, to play on the other side of the ball. That's all of the things that you're looking for from an interior dominator. He dominated practices throughout the week. And I know he didn't play in the game because of an injury, but he showed enough those first couple of days to kind of let it be known that he is a force. He's a legitimate first-round player, a guy that you can move inside and do a lot of things with. I really like what I saw from Sheldon Rankins down at the Senior Bowl.
And if you haven't seen it, I believe I tweeted out a while back, but if you haven't, you can go look up my Vine. I have a little Vine account with those little videos on there. I have a little clip of Sheldon Rankins, a scoop and score that he had. It's the best scoop and score from a defensive lineman I've ever seen, Buck. You talk about he scoops up the ball athletically. He makes a guy miss like he's a dang running back at 300 pounds. So his athletic ability was never a question. I thought, to me, the thing that stood out during his week of practice, not only just his effort, how good he was with his hand. You see him swipe there real quick against the center from Michigan who played some guard in this week. But, man, his hands were so, so dynamic. Use the term explosive hands. Absolutely. Very quick, very explosive with his hands. Knows what he's doing.
You know, and looking at that little clip of B-roll, what viewers can see is not only the quick hands, his ability to sequence move. We saw him use an arm over. We saw him kind of use the jack and shed move. We saw him flash a spin move. His ability to have a lot of pitches in his arsenal will allow him to have a lot of success. Most guys only have like a fastball and a changeup. He has a full array of weapons to go at people. I think his ability to be an interior pass rusher would certainly help a team. He is going to get a lot of momentum. And just by looking at his athleticism in pads, I think he's probably going to be a pretty good tester at the combine as well.
No, I agree with that. I think he's going to run well. But before we get to another defensive tackle, how about a defensive end? To me, the class of the group, Noah Spence from Eastern Kentucky, was by far the most dominant edge rusher during the week of practice. You talk about somebody that has different pitches. He can beat you with pure speed. He showed a nice inside counter. He showed some snap with a bull rush. He's got that knack coming off the edge. For those that aren't familiar with his story, started out at Ohio State. I believe he was the number one high school recruit in the country as a pass rusher, Buck. You can help me on that one.
I think so. I think he was definitely a five-star, highly regarded.
Big-time talent coming out of high school. Goes to Ohio State. Got in some issues there, had some drug issues. Found his way to Eastern Kentucky, where he dominated last year. It sounds like he's got things cleaned up a little bit. I guess there's some reports out there that he interviewed well, some other reports that he didn't interview well. I think that'll vary by the team when you talk to him. But you just talk about physical ability and physical talent. He's a first-round player. Now, maybe he gets punished for his past misbehavior and slides into the second round. But to me, based off the Senior Bowl guys, we've got some other players that are going to come in the mix here, these underclassmen, some edge rushers. But senior edge rushers, it's Noah Spence and everybody else.
Yeah, I think he's the first horse. I think he's the lead horse in the stable. I think he has the guy. He has the ability to be a dominant player. The funny thing about Noah Spence, and the Joey Bosa fans will bark at this, but before Noah Spence was dismissed, no one really talked about Joey Bosa to that fashion. I mean, Noah Spence was the cast me out when it came to the Ohio State defensive line. His ability to rush the passer, first step quickness, dip and rip, the bend and balance that you see him turning the corner with, to me reminded me of the same thing that I saw from Von Miller when he was at the Senior Bowl years and years ago. And so we all know that pass rushers are coveted at a premium. If he interviews well at the combine and going forward in his private workouts and when he makes that team visit, I believe at the end of the day, he's going to be a guy that's in the conversation in the top 15 because everyone wants a closer, a guy that can close out the game when you have a lead. Noah Spence is the best closer in the draft. A lot of intrigue about this guy and what he brings to the table.
All right, Buck, one more here. We stick with the D lineman theme here. One more defensive tackle among a very impressive group that stood out to you.
You know, Vernon Butler from Louisiana Tech stood out to me. And, look, he's going to kind of live in the shadows of some of the other more notable guys. But when I looked at him, I saw a very athletic rusher, a guy who could play on the other side of the ball. I like the strength. I like the combination of athleticism, high motor guy. And as we're accumulating depth along defensive lines, you want guys that can give you the ability to get to the passer on the inside but also play the run. I think Vernon Butler is a guy that certainly can do that. I like the violence that I saw from him. He's a guy that's going to be an intriguing add for some team looking for a guy that can play that three technique.
Yeah, look at just the raw power right here when he gets to Jacob Coker in the Senior Bowl game. But to me, it was a play he made during the week, a perimeter run. And you saw, I see this dude just screaming across the field to make a play on the sideline. And I had to look down at my roster because I was like, this has got to be a linebacker. Whoa, that's Vernon Butler? You know, I did him on tape, and I've seen him, how they move him up and down the line at Louisiana Tech, and he is athletic, he is strong, he is physical. This is one of those cases, Buck. I'm sure you've been in this boat before. You do a guy on tape. I didn't know much about him, defensive tackle, Louisiana Tech. So I think I made him, I think he came in the, I know I put him in the first round of the mock draft, but kind of the later portion of the first round. I had him in the 30s on my top 50 list. And you think, you know what, it took some courage, but I'm going to go ahead. I'm putting it off there. You know, Vernon Butler, he's top 35 player or whatever. Thought I showed a lot of courage. Then after 2 days of Senior Bowl, I was like, man, am I low on Vernon Butler.
You know, it's going to be tough because when we talk about the vertical boards and how we're ranking guys, in some rooms, I think they're going to be like 10 to 12 defensive tackles that are in that conversation at the top of the boards in terms of like those day two picks, the first three
rounds. I
think
rounds. I have 11 in my top 50.
You know, I mean, there are going to be a lot of guys that you talk about, and so you have to identify which guy best fits in your scheme. But if I'm a team in need of a defensive tackle, I feel good because I can take another position in the first round and still confidently pretty much believe that I can find a guy that is going to give me similar quality in the second round.
I think I think we're going to see a huge run on him. I think we're going to have a situation where it's going to be one of those deals. We have like a span of eight picks. We're going to see five or six defensive tackles go in that span of eight picks. I think we're going to see a big run on defensive tackles, and I think that'll continue on as we get to the second and third round. Buck, first of all, I love talking Super Bowl, but man, it kind of gets my juices flowing that we can now start to turn the page almost through Super Bowl 50. We can start turning the page on Move the Sticks and really, really dig in deep to this draft.
Yeah, this, you know, the draft is always interesting. It's always fun to finally look at the players that we've heard so much about in the college football season. Now we know who's declared. We know the seniors that are going. We have the combine coming up in a couple of weeks. We now can begin to hone in and kind of play matchmaker. Which guys fit which team schemes? With so much coaching turnover, front office turnover, we got a lot of work to do. We got a lot of work to do for the combine and then going forward, pro day workouts and all the other stuff. I'm looking forward to it.
All right, Bucky. Well, look, you're in the studio there. I'm going to give you the honors on this one. Tell everybody at home, if they're just catching us for the first time, where they can get all of their Move the Sticks content.
Well, I mean, they got to get all the content. You can go, obviously, to the website, NFL.com/podcast. But then you got to check us out on YouTube. You got to make sure you do that. Download our stuff on iTunes. Make sure you become one of the biggest Move the Sticks fans. Hot podcast. Got to make sure you listen every week.
All right, Buck. That's the way you sell it. That's what I like to see from you, man. I hope this works because I can get used to this doing doing my work from home here, man. Okay. I may or may not be wearing pants right now. I am, by the way. Trust me, I am. I did put pants on. But that's going to do it for us today. Thanks to everybody behind the glass for help putting this show together, our producers back there. You guys crushed it as always, even though Will's got that Raider hat on. I think it's officially sewn to his head. But we appreciate all the work everybody back there behind the glass puts in on Move the Sticks. And again, check out our content. You can check it out on YouTube. Put it on the NFL channel, Pump In Move the Sticks. You can find us there, NFL.com/podcast, as well as iTunes. And we'll be back next week with a little recap of what happened at Super Bowl 50, as well as we continue on our path to the draft here on Move the Sticks.